Greetings, you're listening to Rebels Remembered, featuring Caitlin DeFord and Kelsey DeFord.
Greetings, travelers across the galaxy. I am Caitlin.
I am Kelsey.
And this is Rebels Remembered, and today we are discussing Season 2, Episode 7, called Blood Sisters. It originally aired on November 18th, 2015. It was written by Kevin Hopps, directed by Bosco, bless his heart, I'll never get his name right, NG.
Yeah, I want to pronounce it and pronounce it wrong.
Which we've seen his name quite a bunch recently.
Yeah, Kevin Hopps, I think as well, right?
Yes. Synopsis reads, on a mission to escort a courier with secret information vital to the rebel cause to a rendezvous point, Sabine must face off against her old friend and partner. So, last week we went into Hera, and this week's going to be more about Sabine. Some trivia, which I have some questions for you, which we're going to get into.
I didn't prepare. Let's study.
So, the Black Sun is a criminal organization that originated in Star Wars Legends works. They appeared in canon as part of Darth Maul's Shadow Collective in Star Wars The Clone Wars. So, I don't know much, really anything about the Black Sun. Was that an organization that was in Clone Wars? Like, was it mentioned? Or was it just mentioned?
I don't want to lie to you. I don't know. I do remember the Shadow Collective. I do remember the whole thing with Mandalore is what it's referring to.
Ketsu's starship is a modified version of the ship known as Banshee. And this is, I thought this was interesting. It was actually intended going to be Asajj Ventress's ship. In a storyline, yeah, it was then adapted into Star Wars Dark Disciple, which is a novel that came out regarding Ventress, but I thought that was interesting that...
Was she going to be in Rebels? Is that what it was saying?
I don't know. I don't know if it was just, because a lot of times what happened in Rebels was when Clone Wars was canceled, they had...
Were they working on them simultaneously, you think? Like... Early on, the early episodes of first season, or...
I'm not sure, I just know that Dave Filoni mentioned... They reused a lot of stuff from that.
Right, because of what Ford and Axis thing was left over from an arc that didn't get used from Clone Wars. Okay, gotcha.
But I thought it was interesting that originally it was going to be a Ventress' ship. Ketsu Onyo is voiced by Gina Torres. She is known for her roles in Suits. She was in Firefly. She's currently in 911 Lone Star. I know her as Vixen from Justice League Unlimited. Like... I knew her voice. I'm like, I know that voice from something. Yeah.
The whole time I was like, I know this person. I can't think of her name, but I know it's Vixen. Like, I remembered Vixen.
Okay, so we start this episode with Hera giving orders, because she's now Phoenix leader. Phoenix leader. We established that in the previous episode. So we start off with her giving orders to just, I don't want to say rando people, but.
I mean, you get to see, it's very minute, but you get to see her adjusting to her new role, where now she's not just giving orders out to her crew, and she's not just following Sato, but she's being delegated to, delegate tasks to other people. I'm going to harp on this for just a little bit, is that she mentions that to pick up fighter parts in the market, but gives them a heads up to watch out for Imperial troops. I believe this is on Garil at the moment. What I find really interesting about that is it's very brief, but she mentioned it'll be labeled Rancor meat.
Oh, yeah, I remember saying that.
And I'm like, okay, so that either means the seller or the buyer, or the vendors, the people that are selling that item to be sold, or the seller is part of the rebellion, secretly, which I thought was really cool. But
of course, Ezra presses her about another mission, but she gives it to Sabine. Our courier is coming with secret information, and Sabine needs to bring him to Havoc Outpost. She tells her to keep a low profile, of course. I feel like, I don't know, I don't want to, like, be rude to Ezra here. I feel like maybe he's just bored and wants something to do.
He definitely seems like the little brother, I'm bored, you know, why am I in charge kind of thing.
So she tells him that he and Chopper will join his backup, but Sabine is in charge.
That, again, very sibling, like, hey, the older one is in charge. You listen to her, you know.
Right, and it also shows, you know, her relationship with Sabine is very interesting. We've seen it grow you know, in season, the episode with them in season one. In season two, when she was helping her pilot, you know, fire with a B-wing or whatever. So it's interesting, in the beginning of this episode, she says it's going to be a very dangerous mission, and that's why I'm entrusting you with this. Because, you know, I feel like she has trust in Sabine, but also she knows how capable she is.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, like, the fact that she even outright states that, like, I wouldn't give this mission to anyone else kind of thing, is really cool. I also like how, I'll get back to this level of trust in a minute, because when Katsu comes in, that's when we have fun with that. But I love how we see some growth with Sabine from where she was in, is it Out of the Darkness? When she's with her, with Hera on that mission. She doesn't ask questions.
That's true, she doesn't.
She doesn't ask what the information is. She doesn't even ask where this droid's being taken to. Which is completely different from her questioning, hey, where are you getting this intel from? I need to be know on everything, you know, and I think she sort of, like, we see some growth from her that she doesn't. She's like, okay, sure. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. I'll do the mission.
As they're going to meet up with this courier, and I think the code phrase is, it's a long way to Alderaan or something is the code phrase. Mm-hmm. The whole time they're going to meet the courier, I think it's interesting that Ezra starts, like, pressing into her. Like, you're kind of a loner.
Yeah. Like, you eat alone, you know, you want to be left alone. Then he just starts rambling. And I don't know if that's him trying to have a conversation and he's not sure how to go about that, or if he's just, like, generally concerned, like, hey, what's up? You want to talk about it? You know, but he just kind of goes into rambling.
That's true, he does. But I did note that he does care about her, because he's asking about her. But also I wrote that this sets up the upcoming differences in her and Ketsu. Sabine may be a loner, but she's still working with the Rebels. So she still kind of has that loner personality, but she's still working with, you know, the Rebels and the Rebellion. So there's a difference between her and Ketsu. I feel like that kind of sets up.
That's a good point. I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
So maybe it's also like, hey, you're an introvert. You guys out there have ever been introverts and you have to work an extroverted job?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe it's like that. Yeah.
Oh, while he's rambling, it literally says he's rambling in the notes, he's interrupted by an insignia spotted on the wall. Ezra asks Sabine about the mark, but she dismisses it as nothing. So she knows Ketsu's, I want to say call sign, that's not probably
tagging,
the word.
Tagging. Kind of in the graffiti world, it's called tagging. I do wonder, like, if it was her that put that there, or was it another member of Black Sun telling her that that's the mark you look for to pick up the droid? Yeah. Like, I do. I mean, it's just, you know, kind of like, I'm going too deep into it. Like, everything else. But yeah, she just kind of dismisses it. But the fact that Ezra catches her staring at it, it's like, no, clearly you know what this means, kind of thing. But they kind of just brush it aside.
The trio waits for their courier at Bay 22. And I love this moment because, like, it's a long way to Alderaan. Like, they're doing it to every person. I mean, you'd have to,
not
right?
The best way, though, to, like, you're going to attract, like, keep a low profile, but, hey, we're just wandering around this bay saying this phrase over and over again. Like,
also, like, the moment when there's a person between Ezra and Sabine, and she said, it's a long way to Alderaan, and then she's confused, and then she walks over to Ezra, he says the same thing. I don't know, that part is funny.
Also, people have mentioned in some reviews that the modeling has gotten a lot better with some of the extras in that specific scene. We it's kind of a running gag in the Rebels fandom that we always see the same modeling, I say model, character model of the extras. Even when the pilots, like, you see, like, usually they have the deflective shield down because it's probably the same model of someone else. But I did notice that in Wings of the Master, that was up. So that was like a new, I don't know if they got more money to develop more models, or they were just like, hey, this is something that we probably need to fix a little bit. But yeah, that whole scene is really funny. Again, looks very conspicuous if you're trying to, but I mean, what else are you gonna do, you know?
The entire ship clears out, and I think they've missed them. And then Ezra walks over and sits on top of I don't want to call it a trash can, but that's what a gonk droid... I'm sorry. It looks
is
like
it a... Is it called a gonk droid?
It's a GNK. I'm not sure what it stands for. GNK droid. I call it a gonk.
Could people call it ox or...
I've always called it that.
What do you call it?
he sits on top of it, and it, he says, I know, it's a long way to Alderaan. Like, because she asked him, are you sure you were saying it right? Mm-hmm. And after he says it, it kind of comes to life. And I want to call it a gas pump, but that's what it looks like. And his name is EG-86. And I just have to say here, EG the droid in this episode is so cute.
He is.
And yeah. He's very reactive.
He or she. I don't know the pronouns of the droid, but...
EG is the career they're looking for. And Ketsu is kind of watching them from afar. Then she kind of just appears. And immediately Sabine knows who she is. Of course, Ezra's just confused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we know that there's a past here. And you kind of hear when they talk, they like... It's kind of like the first instinct we get of any history on Sabine.
Yeah, I mean, up to this point, we know that... she used to be in the Imperial Academy. We know she's Mandalorian, mm-hmm. but we don't know really anything beyond mm-hmm. that.
Sabine reveals she has a past as a bounty hunter, and Ketsu has stayed on this path, and she has turned up to take the droid. I'm not sure why she wanted the droid. Maybe Black Sun wanted to take it. I'm not sure. Maybe Black Sun's working for the Empire.
Or
I'm not
really sure. Ransom it off. Like, if you want it back, pay us this much credit. To get it back, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that was only... That's one thing in this episode. I was like, why do you want... Why do they want it? Like...
Just, yeah, for money. I mean, to be simple about it, money is probably involved.
So that was interesting. You know, Ezra questions how they know each other, and... Ketsu explains their history about how they broke out of the Imperial Academy together. But Sabine claims that her greed, or Ketsu's greed, dissolved their partnership when she left her for dead.
And she also says that her and Ketsu broke out of the Imperial Academy together.
Mm-hmm.
So they were both Imperial cadets at one point and decided to escape. Reasons unknown at this point. And it is interesting that given the fact that Sabine is Mandalorian, I feel like a lot of Mandalorians do end up being bounty hunters.
Yeah, they do. I didn't know about that, yeah.
So, it wasn't a surprise to me that she used to be a bounty hunter, because as a kid, you want to make things simple, and I remember, as a kid, teenager, watching, I think it's Return of the Jedi that Boba's in, and his armor, and from now on, from that point on, anytime I saw Mandalorian armor, it's like, bounty hunter, and it might not be it, but I don't know, like.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's true. Because I never knew he was a Mandalorian either. Because that armor is Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just associate it. Yeah, you're right. I was like, bounty hunter. That's what I associate that with.
Even if they're not. They might be a decent person. They just got armor on, and I'm just thinking they're a bounty hunter. Not that all bounty hunters are bad, but...
Yeah. It is interesting that it's still interesting that it was revealed she used to be one.
Yeah, because, like, we've been, not bagging on Ezra, but talking about how Ezra's, like, in it for himself. Initially, until he... He's welcome to the Ghost Crew and learns that it's okay to care about people and right. be empathetic to people. And I think it's interesting that Sabine used to kind of have that maybe way of thinking that she talks about later. Like, she even says later to Ketsu, like, it was her dream to be in Black Sun, which is just shocking to me because I can't imagine Sabine in this moment being like that.
Yeah. You know? So, I wrote that in Brothers of the Broken Horn episode, we see a path that Ezra could have taken. And okay. Similar to this episode, she could have taken that.
She could have become a bounty hunter. Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting that both of those, pirates and bounty hunters, are, yeah, they're not really team players. So, it's interesting that they both are, you know, with the Rebellion, which is completely different than...
Well, also, I don't want to, like, diss bounty hunters or people that aren't picking a side and people that are neutral in this... Rebellion mm-hmm. of sorts, but I mean, Ketsu even says it's about survival.
Yeah.
And I always think Hera would have always joined the Rebellion. I think there was no question that she would have eventually, but Kanan, Zeb, maybe, they all kind of had it in them to just be for themselves. We're gonna survive. We're gonna, like, steal stuff to survive, like Ezra had to. Mm-hmm. I think everyone had that in them to be on that path. But, like, I think even Ketsu, and we're getting ahead of ourselves, but, taking on the Empire, like, a lot of people were like, no, why? That's right. Impossible. Why would I want to do that? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to survive.
Ketsu learned of Sabine's involvement with the Rebels when she saw a bounty was put on her head. though she hasn't decided if she'll collect it. So she now works for the Black Sun Crime Syndicate.
I wonder how much that bounty is. Oh. On all of them.
Yeah,
I wonder.
All of them, yeah. Like, is one worth more than the other? If you get all five or all six, does that mean?
Collect all five. Or collect all six.
So while they're trying to, while this is going on, I remember Ezra's like, we don't want to draw too much attention.
And they get surrounded by stormtroopers.
Like, what are you doing here?
There's a curfew on this. You need to get out. A lot more intimidating than that.
Ketsu fires at them. Ezra tells Chopper to get EG onto the shuttle so they can retreat. I can't say that word. Retreat. Sabine boards with the ship with Chopper, leaving Ketsu and the Imperials in the dust. So after they leave, of course, I mean, Sabine and Chopper, because Ezra gets knocked off during that.
Yeah, it says a blast of a trooper's rifle sends Ezra careening out of the shuttle.
After that moment, where he falls or whatever, we have a moment where you get to see Ketsu and how trained in combat she is with the Imperials. Yeah.
I mean, she uses one as a shield.
Yeah, and then fires the other.
Fires cool. at him. Yeah. Pretty cool.
So, Sabine and Chopper have fled with the droid, but, you know, Ezra was knocked out, and I think he tells Hera, like, what is it he says?
He says the mission got complicated. She's like, you're supposed to keep a low profile, and then I forgot what his response was to that, but, yeah, now Ezra has to, bless his heart, make his way back to, without being shot at or killed by stormtroopers.
But let's just be real here, the mission is always goes complicated. Like, it's never simple or easy, okay? Back on the shuttle, Chopper and Sabine attempt to program the hyperdrive, but Ketsu, she has a ship of her own. She's knocked out their hyperdrive, so Sabine tells EG to lock down.
And I thought that interesting because, like, she knows Ketsu so well. She, like, I think she says, I know what her next move is going to be, which is going to be to blast the door off so then suck them out of the ship. So the fact that she even says that, it's like, I don't know if she's maybe had combat with her before, and she's done the similar strategy, probably.
Well, also, the fact that they were in the academy together, they kind of know how each other person thinks, and how, in terms of combat and strategy that, they probably think similarly, too, in terms of that.
Yeah.
Ketsu has blasted to open the door of the shuttle, sending poor Chopper, flying out of the door and spinning through space. And that part when... That was terrifying.
I know.
When she blasts the door open, of course, Chopper is gone, and EG kind of is, like, stuck kind of between
like
the
door. Like, sideways between the door.
And she's stuck on, you know, kind of, and she's trying to, like, reach a button to put the shield up. That would be terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in space.
I mean, yeah, in space, but I think her helmet does provide some oxygen, obviously. Otherwise,
well, true, but...
But the fact that you're being sucked out in space, like... are possibly good. Like, yeah, that was very nerve-wracking when, like, she's, like, trying to climb over the droid and press the button. And I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I know she's gonna be okay, but, like, I don't know. It was very written very well, pacing-wise.
Yeah. So Ketsu appears on, like, I always forget the word. Not hologram. Whatever. Thing. And they're kind of, like, negotiating, you know, what they should do or whatever. And then, that moment when, and also, at this moment, let's remember that Ketsu has not removed her helmet. So, she still has that bounty hunter helmet. We still have no idea what she looks like. So, so I think I find it funny when Sabine kind of, through her, sees Chopper land on top of her ship. And I think the word she says is, I don't believe it.
Oh, yeah.
And Ketsu's like, you better believe it because I'm going to do A, B, and C. You know, she has no idea what she's talking about. But I thought that part was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then Sabine's like, oh, I don't believe you can do it.
And then she's like, well, things have changed. I really think she would have.
Yeah, she would have.
I mean, yeah. She was all set, ready to fire, and actually did, but...
Chopper had already
disabled her weapons array. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's a part where she says she wanted... There was one time where she wanted to join Black Sun, but then she tells her they even kill you for a profit.
Mm-hmm. She says, I think the line is, they only care about body counts and quotas.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I feel like I do kind of feel bad for Ketsu because I do feel like that's really the only family she has, if you want to call it
call
that.
Call it that, yeah.
That's kind of really sad.
But she's still kind of out for herself.
But out for herself, yeah.
Right. No. Definitely. Not trusting anybody.
Yeah.
As Chopper rockets toward the shuttle and an excited Eiji, Ketsu sucks him in with her tractor beam. Eiji alerts Sabine with incoherent gonks.
Yeah, like that part, like he's like gonking at Chopper and he's trying to like fly.
Kind of like cheering him on, like, you got it, you got
go,
it.
Go, go, go.
And then Ketsu gets him.
And Sabine flies for quite a while before she like turns around and is like, where's Chopper?
Chopper. Like, I thought he made it. So Sabine agrees to make a trade, e.g. for Chopper. And so they meet up with each other. And this was when she takes off her helmet. Because I feel like, I think through this episode, the first time I watched it, I wanted to see what she looked like. Like, what does this person look like? You know, I don't know why. And she takes off her helmet and she's like, it's a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
Much like Sabine. Which was kind of interesting. It's like, oh, okay, so... I kind of went back to Sabine. That could have been Sabine.
Yeah, you know? Ketsu definitely could have been Sabine. She would have definitely... And that's sort of, like, what I kind of... like, well, Rebels is obviously over with because they went to 4 seasons. But we never really got an idea of how Sabine met the Ghost Crew.
That's true.
She implies that, you know, they gave me this second chance and, you know, they're my family. But we never really saw, like, I kind of wanted to see how was Sabine initially when they took her on.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to now.
That's true, yeah. That's a good point. And when she boards, I think Ketsu says, you're not giving him up, are you?
Mm-hmm.
And then she says, no, I'm not. And she's like, I want Chopper back because he's a rebel and a friend.
Yeah, that's really cute when she stands up for Chopper.
And Ketsu's like, well, you're just so soft. You know, you've always been soft type of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well. And she tells her that she belittles her hopes of defeating the Empire with the rebels. And she says, grow up, little sister, you can't be that foolish. And I remember when I first watched this, I was like, wait, are they siblings? And then immediately after that, Sabine's like, I know we were like sisters. I'm like, oh, they were like sisters.
Okay. I think there was some level of camaraderie there. Like I said, they both were in the Imperial Academy and escaped. But yeah, I think at the moment I was kind of thinking that too, but then I'm like, no, I think she's just speaking not in a literal sense, but a metaphorical, like, kind of, we were like sisters once.
Yeah. And then what's crazy to me is, not really crazy, because it's Sabine, and we've seen her growth, is she forgives her for leaving her for dead.
I don't think I could do that. I'm gonna be honest. I don't know if I could, but I think what helps Sabine is that, like she says, meeting people, talking about the Rebel Crew, gave her a second chance, and has helped her give that second chance to others. So it's like she's sort of like passing that on, mm-hmm. like, I'm giving you the same.
And plus, like, she knows where she came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah. Okay, so this is the part is where I had an issue, and I still have an issue with it. The Empire shows up, and the vessel that Sabine has is stolen, so they're after that vessel.
Yeah, it's actually piloted, I believe this is the Return of RX-4, from Droids of Distress. I think it's Paul Rubens' character. And he's been dismantled. I think she shut him off.
She shut him down, yeah.
Because he was like, oh, am I being stolen? What's the protocol for blah, blah, blah? So, of course, the Empire has tracked that ship. I don't know if they had a tracker on it, or...
I'm sure they did. It's a transport vessel, so... Yeah. So the Empire shows up, and then this line that Sabine says, well, I guess we're friends again. And then she says, don't have much of a choice. So to me, they made up too fast. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think for Ketsu, it's a matter of, okay, well, we're going to have to work together so I can survive and live to fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's completely, I don't want to say genuine. I think from Sabine's side, it's like, oh, we're friends again. You know, I think maybe Sabine's probably kind of wary of her just because of who Sabine is. But
it's almost like, well, like she says, the
enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Right. They're kind of like forced to work together.
But yeah, even that line is kind of like, that was kind of like way too quick for y'all to. make up like that.
That was my one qualm about this episode that I didn't care for. Is it seemed like it was, with that much history and that much baggage, you think it would have taken a little bit. But in this episode, it's kind of like, they're not, even when the episode ends, they're not like besties or something. But
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it was like just a step.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe.
But I also think that, like, we don't know Ketsu's mindset, because I feel like there are several points in this episode where she keeps making the point that I don't have a sister anymore, you know, I'm kind of on my own. And I do think a part of her, maybe itty bitty tiny part, like, wants to be, you know, have some camaraderie with someone that's not going to sell her for credits. Right. So maybe Sabine talking to her hit on something, but yeah, I'm kind of like you. I'm kind of like, I don't know. Realistically, I think Ketsu, if she was just like a hard, I say hard ass, she's like a hard ass bounty hunter, she probably would have dismantled that lock, put Sabine, back in her ship, probably fired on the Imperials and the, or what she can. Okay, so you have to get in the mindset of her as well.
Okay.
I think she would have. I just don't know if an actual bounty hunter would have done that, but again, bounty hunters are in it too, for themselves. Even if that means I have to work with someone that I don't necessarily
like. In the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
So they plan to use Ketsu's explosive to blow up the shuttle and escape on Ketsu's ship. So they have this moment where the Imperials keep asking, like, identify yourselves or whatever, and Sabine, she reboots the pilot droid. And it's like, oh, we're having some, you know, problems with our ship and, you know, we can't really, you know, do anything about it or whatever. So she tricks the droid into thinking
there's ship's under the attack.
It's under attack. Like, which I feel so bad for the pilot droid because
I too.
He went from I'm being stolen to I'm dead for like half the episode to oh my god, what happened?
And I'm under attack.
And I was like, oh, your ship's under attack. What?
I find it funny that the Imperials, like, who is this captain? What are they doing? It's a protocol, oh, the protocol droid. It's the pilot droid the entire time, just kind of like being told that, oh, someone's firing at me? What do I do?
The officers fire the shuttle's control hub to disable it, and Ketsu orders Chopper to release the docking tube. So the tube I was talking about where they interlock the two ships. But Sabine's still on the other ship. Mm-hmm. So I feel like even there, Ketsu was like, we gotta get out of here. So Sabine still wasn't her first thing in her head. So while she was on the shuttle setting the charges or whatever around the little droid or whatever, she was knocked out. And Ketsu, interestingly enough, decides to go back and get her. Which she didn't have to do that. She could have just left her.
Well, also, the droids weren't going to listen to her to possibly fix the ship. Oh,
that's true. Again, she was forced. Yeah, that's true. She was kind of forced into it.
I mean, I'm just second-guessing everything, but I do, you know, I don't think they're besties, necessarily, but maybe a bitty, tiny part of her is because of their history together. Oh, we also missed the part where Sabine actually told Chopper to overload the hyperdrive.
Oh, yep.
So it looks like their ship's going to blow up to the Imperials, and I think the plan was to maybe like make it appear like that, and then she has that comment with Ketsu about, oh, that's a Sabine I know, like, you always want to, like, blow stuff up,
yeah. So she gets Sabine, and they go back to their ship, they, you know, release the docking tube, and meanwhile, this poor pilot droid, it's just kind of drifting toward
because they got it in the tractor beam. They got both ships in the tractor beam.
Drifting toward the Imperials, and then maybe this blows up with that little droid inside.
I know. Poor RX-4. It's like, just,
I'm sure there's more of him somewhere.
Yeah, I like how we talk about how, like, they're so nice to droids. Like, look. And then, like, you just sacrificed a droid. But but I do feel bad for him because he's kind of connected to the ship. Like, yeah, I don't know if you can get him out of there.
He's just stuck. So they get out the heck out of the Dodge. And, of course, the explosives erupt and the ship blows up. And they fly to the rendezvous point, which is actually the location of R2 and Bail Organa. And they pass over the intel. So another thing I read was Bail Organa was actually supposed to be there with R2. But they didn't want to overshadow. They didn't want him overshadowing Ketsu and Sabine. So they just had R2 there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and another thing is we never really get the information of what that intel was.
Was, yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know if it's important. Well, we just know it's important to the Brilliant. Okay. People did ask on where the intel is going. Obviously, I would think it would be Alderaan.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Even though it's never said. Oh, we get it's a long way to Alderaan. And I feel like that's probably
where it's headed. It's headed. Yeah. Back at home base, Ezra has found his way back, and Hera awaits Sabine and Ketsu. I think Ezra has a moment, he's like, I can't believe it, because last time I saw these two, they were literally going to kill each other.
Yeah, even he is like us. We're like, I don't buy it, you know?
And then there's this moment where Hera kind of tells her, thank you for helping Sabine and everything. And she's like, well, I don't think I'm ready to take on the Empire. And then Hera greatly replies, nobody ever is. So yeah. Why not? You know?
Why not? But also acknowledging, like, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. And then she flies off. And I think Ezra says, I don't know if we'll ever see her again or whatever. And we actually do. Don't ask me what episode. I know she...
I was going to ask you. That's the next question. When?
I believe she comes back in season 4. What did you rate this episode?
I gave it a 6 out of 10. I do like that we get more information on Sabine. I do like that, you know, we get little moments with the droids, like the Gonk droid and Chopper. Mm-hmm. But again, the whole thing with them making up super quickly is just, I don't want to say ridiculous, because we talked about why that is, but it did feel kind of rushed in a way. But that's probably where I would ding it on points.
I also gave it a 6 out of 10, and I wrote, good pacing, too quick of a resolution. So, not really how it was resolved, but... Yeah, just between them two, to me, it felt too quick. Rushed.
I mean, I think the pacing was good. The only where I would ding it on pacing is where Chopper lands on top of Ketsu's ship, and they're just talking. I don't know. To me, after all that action, it felt like a lot of talking. It was going on.
It did. I mean, they talked, you know, her on the hologram, then they talked in the docking tube. So, yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I did like in this episode was... We've already touched on it multiple times, is Sabine's growth. So her issues with trust and helping the Rebellion. But we'll learn later her more personal reasons. So like her family and things of that nature.
The fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, trauma. Woohoo.
Trauma is so fun.
I do love Tia Circer's performance in this episode as well. And her and Gina's banter back and forth is... done really well. I'm assuming they were in the same room when they recorded.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
One last thing I will say before we leave is let's take a moment and let's remember RX4.
Yeah.
For his sacrifices.
What a little graphic rip, RX4.
In the arms of the angels. All right, guys, you can follow us on X and Spotify and YouTube. Yep, that's the one. Bye.
Bye.